This is a KUNV Studios original program.
You're listening to Special Programming, brought to you by itswhereiam.com. The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Dr. G, and you are listening to It's Where I Am on 91.5 FM, KUNV. I'm guest hosting for Zandra Pollard. Zandra will hopefully be back on next week's show with me, and she'll be back in the studio on It's Where I Am full-time in the month of June. I'm Dr. David Jenness, Clinical and Public Relations Director from Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center. And on It's Where I Am, I have been spotlighting different mental health programs throughout the state of Nevada. My goal is to decrease stigma for accessing mental health resources and extending a hand to ask for help when we need to. On this morning's show, I would like to welcome for the first time, Christina. Good morning, Christina. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Doing excellent. Thank you so much for, first of all, being a guest on the show and just being, you know, so willing to talk about our topic today, which I'm actually really excited about. So on today's show on It's Where I Am, we are going to be talking about and processing and dissecting the battle of the inner children. And so, Christina, this is only a 30-minute coffee talk show, so I'm going to jump right in if that's okay with you. And you know, I want to kind of hand this over to you. And if you can kind of introduce to our listeners, you know, this concept of the battle of the inner child and kind of what's happening in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So recently I've been, seeking therapy and mental health services. I'm trying to reconnect with my estranged mom. She didn't raise me, and she had a lot of, you know, trauma and not great experiences in her upbringing, and I did as well. And I'm realizing a lot of the difficulty that her and I have with communicating has to do with a lot of the inner children trauma that the both of us share. And a lot of times in our arguments or conflicts, I find looking back afterwards that we're really mimicking the same thing. We want the same things. Our small little kids inside of us that have these wounds that haven't been healed are really crying out for the same, you know, and I'm realizing that inaccessibility or maybe being scared or ashamed of accessing mental health services earlier is something that might have stunted us from growing and being able to create the foundational relationship that we're trying to do now.
You know, I just first applaud you for wanting to engage with mom, to build a relationship with her, but also to engage in accessing support to maybe help the process of you and mom engaging move forward a little bit quicker. And hopefully in a, you know, secure and safe place where the two of you can be vulnerable with each other and be honest with each other and say what you need to say so that the two of you can move forward. And so this process is unfolding and the two of you are working on yourselves individually and identifying things that are coming up that may be interfering with you and mom having good communication. Throughout this process, you know, what have you learned about yourself, Christina, and how are you taking that now into consideration when you're working on building this newer, more positive relationship with mom?
I think that the biggest realization that I've come up with for myself is that, you know, the work needs to be done now, you know, forget the shame, forget the taboo. The work has to be done now. I have an 11-year-old daughter who I'm trying to be aware to not create any more traumas for her, to stop this cycle so that we can create humanity of, you know, complete full people who aren't running around hurting each other, basically. You know, I want to make a good foundational environment for my child where she feels complete and full and loved, so she, in turn, doesn't create traumas for her children and so on and so forth.
Well, that's a really powerful statement, Christina. I think that's a really powerful insight that you have that it's come up for you because, you know, what I'm hearing from you is that you are really prioritizing the emotional and mental well-being for your child. And that's awesome. That's amazing. And though, you know, you're working on rebuilding, fostering a healthy relationship with your biological mother. So, you know, Christina, if you don't mind, can you kind of provide some context or background in regards to maybe how this estrangement came about between you and mom?
Yeah, sure. I was born in 1987, so late 80s, and AIDS were really prevalent in the Los Angeles area. Both of my parents were in an abusive relationship with each other, highly addicted to drugs, and my dad actually went to prison for murder when I was 2 years old. Mm. My mom made a choice to give up with me and my older brother and have our grandmother watch us, and I think that she knew that the environment that she could provide at the time wasn't what was healthy. You know, she knew that we would be basically better off in a safer environment that wasn't with her.
Now, as a young person, how did you feel about this? So, and how old were you, Christina, when this actually happened?
So I was 2 when my dad went to prison and I went to live with my grandmother. As a child, and really all the way until I had my own child, I had textbook abandonment, resentment, and couldn't understand, you know, what was so wrong with me and how she didn't love me, you know, all of those feelings. And it took for me to have my own child and look at this human that I made in my hands and feel how heavy that responsibility was to understand how somebody could make that choice.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I had a lot of anger and resentment towards my mom. And I think I still do have some, even though there's some understanding. I was angry for a lot of my childhood. I had a lot of behavior problems. I tried drugs myself as a teenager and could have made some really bad choices that would have been impacting the rest of my life. And I was, I think, smart, but also very lucky that that didn't happen, you know. And after I had my daughter is when it kind of made me have a different level of understanding for her perspective as a mom, because I have that perspective now too.
Now, I've had the privilege of spending some time with you and getting to know you. And I have told you before just how intelligent I believe you are and how insightful you are and how committed you are to being a good mom and to learning, Christina, and just to evolving and improving yourself as a woman, as a mom, as a daughter, as a human being, as a friend. And though I know at some times you have become frustrated because you're really thinking about the needs of your daughter and emotionally really becoming engaged in different ways. And even sometimes I know engaging in activities that you may be like, what? This is a little uncomfortable, or this is a little odd or unique. But you do with your daughter, with the intent of teaching your daughter the skills that she needs to be successful as an adolescent and as a young woman. So Can you talk about, though, like where you're at developmentally as a mom supporting your daughter and how you feel? Where's there been some challenges between you and your biological mom?
I mean, I think that, you know, when there's certain aspects of your childhood that you're missing, it's hard to provide that to your own child. Until you do that work, right? Like, for me, the abandonment issue has heavily prevailed in my life as a feeling of insecurity and not being good enough. I find myself sometimes having that same energy with my daughter, and it makes me stop and realize, you know, these aren't the same wounds that I want my child to feel. I am not as good at having that perspective when I look up to my mother, though. So it tends sometimes for me to be a little bit of a battle, right? Because there is that small child in me that still wants to be nurtured as if I'm a kid. But my role also is to be the adult that's nurturing another child, you know? So it does get confusing and frustrating sometimes. For me, I think it's just most important that I keep eye at the light at the end of the tunnel, right? The goal is to create this positive environment for my child so she knows how that feels and how to create that for hers. And every step that I think I'm doing is getting there closer and closer, even if it's not all the way to the 100th percentile of what I think it should be. Even trying to get there is growth, you know, and I'm happy.
Absolutely.
I'm happy for that.
Well, I think just listening to you speak, Christina, that you're doing the work, you have acknowledged some things, and I believe that alone is like 50%, you know, there. And as a parent myself, and I speak about this very openly, that none of us are perfect. And, you know, we all make mistakes and we're all individually on our own journeys. And hopefully, you know, we can forgive each other so that we can move forward and have other opportunities to do better. And so, you know, I can see, you know, this dichotomy, which may be confusing sometimes, because here you are, you know, working towards being a mindful mom, and you know nobody's perfect, and I know that you do a good job at meeting many needs of your daughter, and then you're thinking about, well, how is my identity related to being a daughter myself, as well as, you know, are you a caretaker? Like, what are all the different roles that you're managing in relationship with your biological mother?
Yeah, that's been hard as well, because I want to be there for her. And there's been instances where I get fulfillment by being a caretaker, which could be another day on another show of, you know, needing to feel like you got to take care of someone to be valuable, but that's my mom. So it's different, right? Like, I want to be able to take care of her, but there's times where it's like, I missed all of that for me. So, you know, it is hard sometimes, but every day is a growth, another day on the growth chart for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And how I think about this though, is maybe it's worthy to engage in a conversation between you and mom regarding boundaries, roles. And I know that you and mom have attempted anyways, and on, I think, more than one occasion, to talk about boundaries within your relationship with each other. And, you know, that's probably helped a little bit to move you guys forward to where you two are today in your relationship. But I still see that struggle sometimes. And that's why we're having the show this morning in regards to the battle of inner children, because that is really something that you and mom are engaging in within that dynamic. And so hopefully, listeners, by Christina having the strength, really, to go on the radio and talk about some of her life experience and what she has endured and where she's at today and what she's trying to achieve and work on her relationship with her biological mother, that hopefully this information can benefit other listeners as well. So, you know, I heard the word abandonment, Christina, and that really has played out what you've alluded to in your life. And I'm a little bit interested in learning more, though, in terms of how these feelings of abandonment has impacted you as a young adult and as an adult woman in fostering relationships in your life.
Oh, it's an extra weight to bear, abandonment. And I, at least for me and in my experience, it is directly related to self-worth, how worthy I am of love or anything in that matter, and how valuable I am as a person, you know. I think as a child, and from that perspective only, you know, without considering anything else, when your parents aren't there for you and they're still alive, you think it's about you. You know, you wonder what you did wrong, what you could have done better, and what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? And as an adult, 30, going on 37 years old, I can look in myself in the mirror and I know when I say it wasn't me, you know, but at that fundamental age, when you're developing those thoughts and that awareness of life and your place in it, it takes a lot to unwrite that. Even in relationships now, you know, it's dealing with narcissists or settling for less, or, you know, thinking I'm only worthy of breadcrumbs, or putting up with something for way longer than anybody. You know, if one of my friends dealt with that, I would say, what's wrong with you? You deserve that, you know, but you don't hold yourself to that higher standard. It impacts my relationships with supervisors at my work and how valuable I think that I am. It for me, it is my sacred wound.
Yeah.
My parents not being there.
Yeah, I hear it in your voice. Yeah. And I see how it has impacted you on such a fundamental level. And you have to truly believe, Christina, that you are worthy of love and that you are worthy of more than just breadcrumbs. And you deserve to be happy and to experience a lot more days of joy than not.
That's what I'm working towards, Dr. G. That's what we're working towards.
Well, and you know, I think that you're a role model for your daughter. And I do believe she's always watching you and listening to you and looking at you to see how you respond to daily life situations. And, you know, I tell you that you do a great job frequently, but, you know, you got to believe it yourself, though. And that's really something that for behaviors to change, you know, we the person that wants to change the behavior or the belief has to buy into, you know, what it is that's happening, what it is that you're doing and what you're changing. And so, you know, that's something I know that you're working on.
I'll be honest, Dr. G, some days it's fake it until I make it. But at the end of the day, I'm more proud that I went through it with the mindset, even if it felt uncomfortable and strange, than repeating the same old habit of being pessimistic or negative or, you know, negative self-talk. I've got a big problem with that. Working on it as well. To look at myself in the mirror and say I love you is extremely uncomfortable for me.
Well, and I'm going to encourage you that you do that multiple times throughout each day, as uncomfortable as it is, because, you know, research indicates anyways that to change a behavior, we need to practice a new behavior about 3,000 times before we fundamentally can show a new behavior that becomes part of our DNA. So I'm going to encourage you, Christina, as hard as it is, you need to do that much more often. And you deserve it. And I know it's hard and you might get emotional when you first do it. But I promise you, you know, that's going to take you and lead you to where you want to go.
I'm on the ride, Dr. G.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we just have to have a little faith and be willing to be vulnerable, to put ourselves out there where we can experience something new and something positive, as scary as it may be.
Yeah, I'm jumping in full force, so I'm ready. I am.
So, you know, with abandonment issues, you know, you've mentioned what has come up with you as a result of feeling like you're not worthy, is self-esteem. And, you know, like you possess a bachelor's degree, you own a home, you know, you have a good job. I feel that you're doing a great job parenting your child, and yet you still have low self-esteem. You know, what more do you think you need in order to help facilitate viewing yourself in a more positive way?
Well, I have another theory on that, Dr. G, and it has to do with perspective, right? And our brain is a muscle, and we can work that out in one way or in another way. And whichever way we choose to work it out, it's going to grow stronger in that way, right? And I think that the ability to change your perspective is a skill that everybody should work on, right?
Agreed.
How you feel about your situation is your reality, you know? So I think that as long as my perspective is rosy, my glasses are pink, right? Everything I'm looking at is with a positive, good intention. You know, I think that there's no choice but for me to go there.
So I love that. And, you know, I do talk about with a lot of the adult patients that I work with, and I normalize that all of us cannot be happy 100% of the time. And that it is acceptable when we wake up in the morning and we wake up, if you will, on the wrong side of the bed. And some instances we may be fully aware, you know, why we're feeling the way that we're feeling. And in others, we have no idea. And that's okay. But what I say, though, and I ask the question, do you want to continue feeling this way into your morning and potentially throughout your day? Or do you want to start doing the work to feel more optimistic, to become more positive, to feel more cheery? And it leads back to what you just shared, Christina, perspective taking and changing our perspective, our mindset on how it is that we're feeling. And I feel that so many of us are not attuned to the thought that we have more control in managing our feelings than what we see individuals do, or I see individuals do on a daily basis. And the power, though, associated with being able to be in control of our mood and to control our mood is amazing, is awesome. I mean, it's because it's like I'm not going to let other people's energy or mood or opinion on me impact me in a manner where I crumble or feel bad about myself. And it's really being able to navigate through life and life's challenges by managing how we feel about ourselves and knowing who we are as a person. And so I imagine you're teaching this skill to your daughter as well.
I do my absolute best to give her everything that I'm learning as I'm learning it. You know, this is kind of a new leaf or a new page for me. I've been stuck in some negative behaviors for quite some time until I had some access to mental health services with you, Dr. G. because I just needed maybe a little guidance on the path, you know. But like you just said, I have all these things and a bachelor degree, and that is your perspective, right? So if there's a moment where I'm feeling this way, or I'm you know, feeling down, that's that perspective for me. Even though on paper it could be, you know, all the bullet points that would make any other person exceptionally happy, because my perspective is not great, those things have no value anymore. And that, and again, that's just really, that's the perspective at that time. And I have the power to change that perspective.
You absolutely do, Christina. And something that I want to say to you and, you know, other listeners, is to know your worth and add tax to it. And let me tell you, honey, you can add a lot of tax to your worth.
But, and inflation. And the inflation.
Oh, I couldn't have said it better. Thank you so much. And inflation, listeners. Yeah. Because, I mean, this is what you're teaching and role modeling for your lovely daughter as well. And again, you know, Christina, everything that you do, believe me, she's watching you. She's listening to you. She's going to pick up habits from you. And I know, and I'm so proud of you, because you're doing the work to formalize in your DNA more positive habits and skill sets in which you're going to role model and teach back to your daughter, and furthermore, prepare her to navigate through the world, which is very challenging. And so, you know, your daughter certainly is going to be ahead of life as a result of how you're parenting her and what you're teaching her. So I am going to encourage you, pat yourself on the back, girl, because you deserve it. And I'm proud of you, too. And listeners, for those of you that can really relate to Christina's story, I want you to know that you're not alone. And, you know, there is help out there. And not to feel embarrassed or ashamed to access mental health services. And that there are people, there are providers out there in your communities that want to support you and help you make sense of your individual situation and move you forward in a more positive direction. So, Christine, I just really want to thank you again for being on the show. I hope, listeners, that you've really enjoyed it. This is Dr. David Jenness from Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center, and I'm on It's Where I Am on 91.5 KUNV. Until next time, see you then.